opportunity that God has given us in this hour to make a difference in the lives of people. When we're intentional, we can impact them with the good news of the hope and the grace and the future that we've discovered in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I was in a meeting this past week and was thinking about what God was doing in our community, what He was doing in Southeast Texas, Greater Houston area. And as I was listening to a friend share, he actually said in their church, they had helped to muck out about 200 homes in the Clear Lake area down that part. And when he shared his story, he said, you know, we did some figures, we put some dollar amounts to it, and on average, it cost between $7,500 and $15,000 just to muck out a house. That doesn't include putting sheetrock back in and doing rebuilding work and those things that are necessary for a home. And as he was sharing his story, he said, recognize that just our church, just one church in the greater Houston area, made an economic impact in our area of $2 million. That's one church. And what Jerry said, that is our reality, is that it's the church that's done more of the work, more than FEMA, more than the government, more than agencies. The church has showed up, and faith-based organizations have showed up in a way, not only from Southeast Texas, but from all over the nation. I was talking with a pastor in the Katy area. He said that a church from Mississippi sent some people to do remediation work in his church. They had gotten a quote from a professional mediation service. It was going to cost $250,000 to treat their church and their buildings. This church from Mississippi came and did it for free, and that was just one church, and they did several churches. And I just think about what we've seen the Lord doing with distribution centers, with work like Jerry's team and other teams from across Houston that are now in the rebuilding stage or in the recovering and rebuilding stage. And we have a long way to go. But Calvary, the world tells us that the church doesn't care, that the church doesn't make a difference, and the church is focused on itself. And you and I know a better story. Amen? God is at work through His people. God is calling us to a level of intentionality and culture, not just with our words, but with actions that open up the door for us to share what God is doing, give us the right to share, and it's very remarkable how God is touching lives. And I just want to celebrate that today, and I want you to celebrate. And we don't know all the testimonies and all the reports. We know just a few of those. Like, I'm going to be meeting on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from some churches in California. They called during our time in the shelter, said, we had heard about what y'all are doing, and we heard that you have a networking with different people and churches in greater Houston, and we are a group of churches, about eight of us, and we're going to receive a special offering, and then we're going to send down teams to give away those funds to churches, and they've raised over $60,000 and are coming to give that away to churches that have experienced flooding over the next 3 days this week. And that's just one illustration of what God is doing, that you and I get to be a part of, because our God that we sang about this morning is faithful. He's here in the midst of the storms, and He's here to move and to work. And so I just want to thank you, Calvary, for how you've been helping people after the flood, how you've been ministering to neighbors, ministering in your workplace, caring and demonstrating the love of God, and how you've been sharing good news that in God we have a present grace and a future hope, and our God can heal wounds and can take care of things that have been lost and stolen by brokenness in this world and brokenness around us. We have that kind of a God. So again, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Also today, have been just praying for and thinking about many of you that are caregivers. You're caregivers for spouses. You're caregivers for parents. You're caregivers for grandchildren and others. And the role that you're doing, the faithfulness and the way you're showing up, I just want to say thank you so much for demonstrating the faithful, consistent love of God to people that need you. And Lord, right now, I want to ask you for an impartation of strength, physical strength and heart strength, for the journey that we're in, for the journey that these friends are in. Father, what a sacrifice, how they're demonstrating your sacrificial love. Father, I pray I pray that you would demonstrate your faithfulness. Thank you for sustaining. Thank you for encouraging. Thank you for restoring. Lord, we never could have imagined life would end up this way. But we thank you, God, that you are with us. You're with our friends. And I just ask you again, according to Joshua chapter 1, for physical strength and heart strength in the name of Jesus. Then next week, I'm going to start a series called The Joshua Generation. As I've shared with you the testimony of what the Lord spoke to me back in 1992, I believe that God has some principles and some promises from the journey that the people took in Joshua's day that apply to us as a church family, definitely apply to the calling that's on my life. So starting next week, we're going to spend some time in the book of Joshua. We're going to listen to what the Lord is saying and look to what he would have us to know and to do and to become aware of, because I believe that God wants to speak to us and wants to make his words known to us in some fresh and new ways in this hour. So I'm looking forward to that time as we gather next week and we spend time in the Word. Today, what I want to do is I want to talk about living in a broken world and living with broken people. Living in a broken world and living with broken people. It's clear from the news and from our experiences that we live in a broken world. And we know what happened last Sunday night, that there are broken people in this world. And it's in times like this that we discover that we need a Savior, that we need hope, and that we need a future. And I believe those things are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we want to talk about today is just how to live in this world. We're going to look at three passages of Scripture, one you're super familiar with, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. And just a reminder, the notes are on the web if you want to download those there. Isaiah chapter 60, if you want to put your mark there, 60 verses 1 to 3. Psalm 11, we're going to look at Psalm 11. And we're also going to look at Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the wheat and the tares. So we're also going to look at Matthew chapter 13. It begins in verse 24. As I think about the day that we're in and some of the prayer meetings that I've been in and some of the ways that my heart has been moved this past week, I just began to journal and I began to just pour out my heart to the Lord. And I just made some notes. I just wrote and said that this is a seriously broken world with seriously broken people. We face disasters and tragedies and cultural brokenness. And it just seems like the world and people and even our culture are just coming apart at the seams. People are shaken. Some people are struggling with fear. Many of our lives are overwhelmed with the current stories of disaster, tragedy, brokenness, hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, floods, mass murder, genocide, racial tensions, injustice. And it's understandable that many of our hearts are weary. Many of us feel overwhelmed by the sheer number of difficulties and disasters. Some people are crying out in frustration and anger, some in disillusionment, some in bitterness, some in hopelessness. And in this current context in which we find ourselves, in thinking about this past week, it just seems like one thing's been piled on after another in this season. I just keep asking myself, how does the Lord want me to show up? How does he want us to show up? The truth is that there are some of us that we try to make life, a complex life, more simple, and we live in what I call an either-or world. We want things to be either-or. We want it to be this or that. We want it to be black or white. We want to find the one solution or the one answer to our questions. But as we've taught around here, we live in the midst of brokenness. We're called to live in the midst of brokenness. And I want to say also, the brokenness is not out there. The brokenness is in me and you, right? If we could point a finger and say, only those people, only those cultures, only those nations are broken, that would be one thing. But you and I, in our journey with the Lord, recognize that we're still in the process of transformation. We're still in the process of being changed, of being conformed to the image of the Lord. And so we admit that you and I are also broken. We're broken in the way we respond to brokenness sometimes. We respond to people that grate us, or they test us, or they try us, or we see something on the news, or we listen to a politician, or we hear another issue, and our stuff gets stirred up. You know, our anxiety gets stirred up, or we just go, man, if they would just ask me, I'd tell them how to run this country. If they'd ask me, I'll tell them how to run this county, this city. We fall to simplistic answers sometimes. But the truth is, we're called to live in the tensions of life. Our pastor Steve has taught us that there are creative tensions. God has put the life together in such a way that there are tensions. Like, God is a God of love, and he's a God of justice. And so he is both of those at the same time. Our God is a God who is faithful, and he's present, and he's right here with us, and he's also transcendent. He's beyond us. He's bigger than you or I could ever imagine. There's just tensions in life, creative tensions, as they're called, and we're called to live in the midst of those. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus looked at his followers and said, hey, I want you to go by the narrow way. There's a narrow road that leads to life, and there's not many people that find it. Well, when I think about the narrow road that the Lord has called us on, this journey and following him, I like to think of a road with ditches on both sides. Some of our ditches, like we see, fill up in our times of floods. And what we do is, we're driving down the road, we'll have something happen, and we'll swerve over into one ditch, and we'll fall over into this extreme, and then we'll overcorrect and fall into the other extreme. We just really want life to be, it's got to be this or that. It's got to be either or. But the truth is, the creative tensions of life has called us to live in a world in the middle that's both and. Like, please don't tell me what your position is on the current racial tension in our culture, as we're seeing in the NFL. But there are people that just, they say, if those people would just do this, or if those people would just do that. And there's not much listening going on. There's not much empathy. There's not much trying to understand. There's just this thing that rises up in us when we see things that we don't agree with, see things that trouble us, or things that bother us. And we make quick judgments. And we say, well, this is the answer. This is the way that would solve this. And we don't realize how complex it is. The truth is that many of us just don't like living in the tensions of life. It's either to default to looking for simple, quick answers. And unfortunately, in this very, very complex world right now, I think that such a simplistic way of living just leads to frustration and fruitlessness. I think that God has a better way for us. And so, you've heard us say in the past, I was actually in a series of meetings recently where I was talking with some pastors, and many people have put off their present understanding that God's at work in the world. They're just waiting for Jesus to return and for Jesus to make everything right. They've just said, hey, the world's just getting worse and worse. It's never going to get any better. And I'm just waiting for God to get me my ticket out of here. And I just want to get out of all the problems. And then you have others who say, wow, look at the world. It's getting better, and things are like we've never imagined. The technology is going to solve our problems coming down the pike, our health issues and other institutional issues, technology and science. But you and I know that those answers, they're not the full picture. What does Isaiah chapter 60 say? What does the scriptures say about our current world? Isaiah 60, verse 1, the scripture says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So here we see the context. The Lord gives us clearly, I believe, the context to the world in which we live. The truth is, the world is getting better and better, worse and worse, faster and faster, as we have been taught many times here. But people will say to us, they'll say to God, God, why don't you step in and fix it? God, why did you let this happen? If you loved us, why do you leave us in this situation? Why do you leave us where we are? Why doesn't God stop evil? Why doesn't God stop the brokenness? So in the midst of this time in which we live, we see the glory of the Lord at work. We gave a testimony about God showing up in his church and his people. We see goodness happening. By the way, that's not on TV. You're not going to find those kind of reports in the news media about what's going on for good and what the kingdom of God is doing to advance the love of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God. But God's at work in some profound ways. His glory is rising upon us. And then, wow, I just think back this week and the darkness and the brokenness that's within and without. And so a lot of people asking questions. Good, it's good. This is a period of asking questions. It's a good time. I think it's a necessary time for us to be stirred, for us to be shaken. The truth is, it's easy to blame someone. We want someone to blame. We want to fix things. We want easy answers. We've trusted in the government. We've trusted in our finances. We've trusted in ourselves. We trust in our policies. We've trusted in our security systems. We've trusted in our wisdom and our resources. And as a culture, we've told God that we don't need him. We don't want him, both in our policies and in our behaviors. And what we're discovering is that without God, our hearts are broken. Our hearts are broken with fear, hopelessness. People, again, at every level of life are being shaken and overwhelmed by stress, by strain. And it's in times like these that we discover that we need a Savior. We need hope. We need a future. And aren't you glad that in Jesus we have found our Savior, we have found our hope, and we have found our future, and it's not distant, but he is here with us even right now. So in the midst of the world getting worse and worse, in the midst of the world getting better and better, better and better, in the midst of that happening faster and faster, it's in that context that God says, Calvary, you and I have an opportunity. This is our time to arise and shine for God. This is our time to show up as people who live by the leadership, by the presence, by the help of the Lord God Almighty. It's our chance to intentionally shine in this hour. There are many scriptures that speak to living in a broken world with broken people. Why is there evil? Why do people do evil things? Why is there so much strife? Why is so much going on? Turn to Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11. And I'm going to read this from the Message translation, the paraphrase. You can follow along in your scripture. I want to consider what this passage says to us about the Lord. The psalmist says, I've already run for dear life straight to the arms of God. So, why would I run away now when you say, run to the mountains? The evil bows are bent. The wicked arrows are aimed to shoot under the cover of darkness at every heart open to God. The bottom's dropped out of the country. Good people don't have a chance. But look at verse 4. But God hasn't moved to the mountains. His address hasn't changed. He's still in charge, as always. His eyes taking everything in. His eyelids unblinking, examining Adam's unruly brood inside and out, not missing a thing. Verse 7. God's business is putting things right. He loves getting the line straight, setting us straight. Once we're standing tall, we can look him straight in the eye. And in this hour, people are saying, what good is it to believe in God? Why did God let this happen? Where is your God now? Look at where this country has gone. Look at where it's going, what it's become. Good people don't stand a chance. But according to Psalm chapter 11, the psalmist speaks about the faithfulness of our God and says, you know, the reality of God has not changed even in the midst of serious disaster, in the midst of serious brokenness. In this passage, in the midst of serious evil and tension against us, God's address has not changed. He has not gone anywhere. The Lord is still in charge. He is still at work. He's still in the midst of the flood, even in greater Houston. It was reported earlier on that, you know, when you saw the water levels and you saw the devastation, it felt like 94% of the homes in Houston would be destroyed by water. But you know, after the flood, God didn't let the flood have the final word. You think about it, 94% of the homes in Greater Houston did not flood. That's miraculous when you think about the trillions of gallons of water that fell on our area and that flowed through our neighborhoods. By His grace, not every plan of evil comes to fruition in this world, for the Lord frustrates the plans of the enemy and the wicked. Not every act of evil comes to its full expression. Even in the midst of tragedy, God moves with mercy. He moves with grace, mitigating the devastation of this broken world and its broken people. When I think about God intervening and not letting things run their course, I just have to stop and say, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. It is seriously painful, seriously discouraging when you just see wave after wave of things happening. But God's business, the scripture says, is putting things right. When things get messed up, when things are broken, when voices inside and voices outside say, hey, we've come to the end. This is it. I can't go on. Nothing's going to change. Things are going to get worse before they get better. The Lord just shows up and says, hey, I'm still here. I'm still at work. I'm still putting things the way I want them to be. And He comes, and when your Father shows up like that, it just imparts heart strength. It imparts physical strength to know that He's trustworthy. And so we get to join Him in that. That's what excites me about this opportunity. We would never wish anything like what's been happening to us to happen to us. But by God's grace, we can show up in a new way. We can show up full of grace, full of compassion, full of hope for the sake of our own lives, our families, and our neighbors. We can get in action, and we can partner with the Lord both in prayer and in activity working for the kingdom of God, this kingdom that Jesus told us to pray for. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And we would say, Lord, let your kingdom come and start in me, and let it start through me for the sake of others. Another passage of scripture, just again to get the context and understand what the Lord's doing, it's the parable of the wheat and the tares, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. By the way, the reason why we're going over these passages is not so that we can have an answer for people out there. It's so that we can have a perspective of what's going on and recognize that God knows where we are. He knows what's happening. He has not abandoned us. He is faithful, and He is still at work and working His plans, even in the midst of incredible difficulties and darkness in this hour. The parable of the weeds, the parable of the wheat and the tares, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and he went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed into your field? Where did these weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may also root up the wheat with them. He said, Let both grow up together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. Now look at verse 36. Then he left the crowd and he went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And so he answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stand for the sons or the subjects of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who comes sows them is the devil. And the harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of God. He who has ears, let him hear. This passage teaches us that we're living in a context in which the goodness of the kingdom of God and the evil of the devil's wicked kingdom are going to come to full maturity together and at the same time. It won't be either or, it will be both and. So we look and we see things that are happening and we go, wow, look at the goodness. Look at the breakthroughs. Look at the discoveries. Look at the provision of the Lord. Look at the miracles. Look at what God's people are doing, as we gave testimony to. Look at the light. And right there alongside of it, we go, wow, look at our brokenness. Look at the depravity. Look at the evil. Can people really treat one another like this? I mean, we're about to go back to Myanmar in the first part of the year, and that nation is so broken, and they have a Nobel Peace Prize winner who has actually suffered in prison, came out and was speaking for human rights in the nation, working for the common good, as it were. And then in this hour, that person has changed their position, is agreeing with government genocide of an entire people group on the Bangladesh border of Myanmar. And people, these are people of their nation, and they are seeking to wipe them off the face of the earth right now. It's just, it's crazy what we do to one another in this hour. I don't know if you saw in the paper, but there are people who did research in our city and talked about the sex trafficking industry and the massage parlors that are in our neighborhoods, even in our neighborhoods out here in Northwest Houston, that it's rampant, and justice is very slow to be done because of the complications of our system. And yet you see people working to bring wholeness and help to children, and working to bring rescue and deliverance. There's all these things happening, and do you see them happening side by side at the same time? The wheat and the tares are growing up together. They're manifesting themselves. And Jesus says in this parable that it's got to be like that. It's got to be a both and. This is going to happen until he says enough is enough. And one thing the Bible teaches us in Malachi is that because of the times in which we live, there will be a clear distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. Things are going to become very clear about you know, the difference between good and the difference between evil, because our world is very confused right now, calling good evil and evil good. God's going to make that known. Well, the question is, how then should we live? So I want to just spend the final moments together talking about us being a people of grace, compassion, and hope. Remember those words, grace, compassion, and hope. When you turn on the news, when you see what's going on, when you deal with all the pain that we have and the anxiety that happens. By the way, I just want to remind us that with everything we've experienced, the traumas as a region, our emotions are just stirred up. The brain releases hormones into our system, and just because the flood event is over doesn't mean that things in us are back to normal. Y'all remember when it rained this past week and rained super hard? Did any of you get anxious with that and go, something just stirred up, and you were going, wow, what's wrong? And is this another flood event? I mean, we're on high alert, as it were, and we're wired that way. And sometimes it takes a while for us to work through our emotions, our tensions, our anxieties. And then we know from processing loss and grief and trauma that maybe next week, maybe a few months from now, you'll be talking to somebody and there'll be an emotional eruption. There'll be an explosion that happens, and we'll think, man, what is wrong with you? You know, who pushed your button? And the truth is, it might be just grief popping up. It might be just that awareness of loss or the trauma. You know, it just pops up in different ways at different times. And so we need to be a people of grace, of compassion and hope in the midst of this season of life. So I believe the Lord wants us to get intentional, and let's get in the gap and embody grace. Let's embody grace. What does that mean? I believe we need to ask for mercy. When we see bad things happening, Let us be a people who do what Ezekiel 22:30 says. Let's run into the gap and let's pray, God, have mercy on the people of this city. Have mercy on the people of Puerto Rico. Have mercy. God, would you not give us what we deserve? God, would you rescue? God, would you deliver? Let's be a people who run into the gap with mercy. Let's not just look for people to blame. Like when you see events of the past week, it's like people are trying to point the finger and find out who to blame, find out what the quick fix is, come up with a quick solution, and we overreact. Listen, that's the way we're wired as broken people, but I want to invite us to show up in a different way. Let's be a people who run to God, who cry out for mercy, who ask God for wisdom, and who don't point the finger and just point and say it's their fault, it's this person's fault, it's this group's fault. Let's not be a people who look at that with that kind of frustration and anger, but let's embody, mercy embodies dependency upon God. Mercy says, Lord, we've messed this thing up. Would you have mercy on us? And would you help us in our time of need? Secondly, let's get in the gap and embody compassion. Let's embody compassion, empathizing with those who are scared and hurting. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We need to be a people who don't just simply offer simple solutions. When we're meeting with people and we're trying to help them with the muck out process or the rebuilding process, or with they've lost everything, or they're homeless, whatever their situation, sometimes we look at them and say, hey, everything's going to be all right. This is going to be over in a little bit. Well, you can't promise that right now, right? That's not being compassionate. That's not being empathetic, offering shallow or simple answers. But what we can do is we can help to understand where they're coming from. We can pay attention to what they're feeling, what they're saying. We can share about the hope, the comfort, the grace that we have in the Lord Jesus. And let's not tell others what they need to do or how they need to feel. Rather, let's show how the Lord is at work, let's give stories of how he's our shield, our hope, our future, and how we're trusting in him. I was hearing a story. Rick Warren came to town and was talking about how we need to deal with trauma in the days ahead. And he had a couple in his that were actually now on staff at his church, but they were at a church there in California when a dam broke. And they had gone that day to go grab some fast food on the other side of town. And when they got to the fast food place, people were just all stirred up and they were anxious and they were talking and they were watching the TV and the people, this couple said, what's going on? They said, oh, you didn't hear? The dam just broke, but don't worry. It's not on our side of town. It's on the other side of town. And they said, we're from the other side of town. And this pastor said they looked at the pictures and the water came down the valley and they saw their neighborhood just totally washed away. And he said, it was interesting. We drove back over there and when we were allowed to get back in, some people would come up and they would just put their arms around and say, hey, it's going to be okay. You know, this will be over soon. He said, the definition of soon was not very soon. It took a long time to recover and to get over. And so, you know, what people need is our presence. What they need is our love. What they need is us to listen. What they need is for us to say, you know, oh, and the story went on. He said he was sharing with somebody about what had happened. And this guy said, yeah, you wouldn't believe it. He said, there we were watching the water come down. And so he said, you know, me and my wife, we just stood in the doorway and we just prayed and rebuked the water and asked the Lord to come in with a miracle. And the water stopped within a few feet of our door because God delivers and God rescues us. And the pastor said, I knew what they were doing. They were just giving testimony to God. But he said, I was thinking, why did his house get spared and mine didn't? You know, that's just a human reaction, right? And so what we want to do is just empathize, be compassionate, be gracious, and ask the Lord, what are the stories you want me to tell of your goodness, or even sometimes just listen. And then let's get in the gap and embody hope. I just think sharing stories of hope, comfort, and grace in the Lord are really important in this hour. The Bible says in Romans 15:13 that you and I can overflow with hope. Like, I don't know how long it's going to take for us to rebuild Houston, greater Houston, Southeast Texas. But I know God's not finished with us, and I know God's not going to give up on us. And there are many people are saying, but the nation's going to forget about us. The government's going to forget about us. Can I tell you, God's not going to forget about us. God's going to keep helping. We're seeing wave after wave of resources. And while that's happening, I'm standing in the gap for Puerto Rico and saying, Lord, would you not forget them? And then you hear the stories that God has raised up ministries and churches that are pouring resources into there. And we're not even hearing about those stories. That's the kind of God that we follow and we serve. Our God does not quit and does not give up. Again, we're not just offering simple answers, but we're sharing with grace. We're not just telling people what they should do or what they ought to do or telling them what they need to do. We're sharing how our God is our rock, our shield, our hope, our future, even in the midst of incredible shaking, and that God's not going to forsake us. So those are some things that I believe God's speaking to us about as a family of faith, that we'll show up with grace, compassion, and hope. And then here are just a few skills that I think will help us in this hour, especially when we're talking about the emotional turmoil and the things that we're facing. First, let's practice authenticity. I think we have to grow in our capacity to be open and honest about what we're thinking, feeling, or believing. Let's just share openly and honestly. What happens when you go through trauma, when you go through difficulty, and I've had numbers of you have shared this with me, your emotions get all so tightened up that you want to isolate. You want to cut people off. You just don't want to talk. But in this hour, I want to say, find some safe places. Find some people in your small group or people that care for you and share with them what's going on in your life. We were so honored recently, someone who said, you know, in the midst of the storms, I found myself struggling with fear in ways that I've not had that happen in a while. And just talking about it brought grace and help for this person. You could begin to see just by accessing authenticity and just saying what was going on, grace came in and the Lord began to just come and help, and people listened. And what an honor it is to hear people tell their story. The enemy tempts us to isolation. Our tendency is to self-protect, to isolate, to carry our burdens alone. I just want to say, Calvary, in this hour, when you're tempted to just think nobody wants to know, nobody cares, everybody's too busy, they've got too much going on, would you let that be a trigger? Hey, I need to share with somebody what's happening, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. We don't need to have all the answers. We just share where we are. We just share what we're feeling. We just share what our current reality is, because we need each other. So please don't run. But in this time, in the midst of such a broken world and such broken people and so many things going on, I just want to encourage us to practice authenticity. Just talk with somebody. Talk with somebody. Secondly, connect with others. We have an opportunity to grow in our ability to connect with others, to express the compassion, the empathy that we talked about, to come alongside others. We don't have to have all the answers in ourselves, but let's just show up. The ministry of presence, when somebody's experienced loss, when they've experienced difficulty or trials, you don't have to know what to say. Just show up and put your arm around them. Just show up and say, I'm here for you. And then a lot of times what I do is I'm a task-oriented person. I'll say, hey, do you need something? What can I do for you? Well, what is always the answer? I don't need anything. I'm fine. What I'm learning now is to say, hey, our group is going to bring a meal, or, hey, I'm just going to come over and hang, or, hey, I'm just going to come over and listen and offer something. And then they can say no, but sometimes the simplest thing that people do kind of as a defense mechanism is just when you ask them, what can I do for you? They'll just say nothing, or they're so overwhelmed that they don't even know what to ask for. So just man, practicing the presence, just the ministry of presence, connect with others. Just showing up. The ministry of introduction. We need to realize that we don't have to have all the answers in ourselves, but we'll just show up. And if they ask us questions or if they have needs we don't know, we say, hey, I don't know the answer to this. I don't have the resources, but I know where to go. I'll talk to the Lord and I'll talk to friends and I'll find something. I'll work on it. The ministry of introduction. The ministry of sacrificial love. Oh, let's give away our time. Let's give away our energy. Let's give away our resources, our treasure. Your little can become much in the hands of the Lord. Just offer it to Him. So let's practice hospitality. Let's connect with others. Let's just show up. Thirdly, let's listen deeply. Let's just be available. Let's listen deeply. We have the opportunity to grow in our capacity to listen in this hour, to listen to people's hearts, to hear them share their disappointments, their frustrations, how they feel, to share what they're scared of, to share where they're frustrated. This is a great time to listen. It's a great time to ask questions. It's a great time to listen. And so just be a safe place. Don't judge. Don't fix. Don't control. Don't parent them and tell them what to do. Just listen well. And then after you've listened, you might have something to share, but say, hey, would you mind if I shared something? I think I have something to share. And let them say yes or no. Sometimes people have had so many people when they've shared, they kick into fix-it mode and control mode that they don't even want anybody to talk to them. And so it's just a good thing to just ask, hey, would you mind if I just shared my story, some of the things I'm learning? I'm not there yet, but... And then if they say yes or no, you can respond accordingly. Just share simply what the Lord is helping you, where He's teaching you. So we want to practice authenticity. We want to connect with others. We want to listen deeply. And then lastly, we want to love well. Love well. I believe that we have an opportunity in the midst of a really broken world and in the midst of broken people. We have an opportunity to grow in our ability to love unconditionally. Let's show up. Let's show up in a way that shows that we care. Let's show others that we genuinely care. The people whom the Lord wants to bring to us in the days ahead as a congregation from our culture, they're not going to be like us. They're not going to have the same values. They're not going to think like us. Our culture is a very diverse culture now, and I want us to be a multi-ethnic, a multi-generational, a multi-racial. We want to be a people with all the multis and the dashes at the end of it. That's God's bringing us people from every tongue, tribe, language, and nation. And I just want to be a people who love well, love unconditionally, who show that we care. And they're going to be people that don't have our values, that don't have our political views, that don't have our this or that, and don't have our dreams, don't have our visions. So we can't just look for people that are just like us, because God didn't call us to reach people just like us. He called us to be missional, to cross boundaries, to cross differences, and to love well. Loving well means persevering. We're in this for the long haul. Let's not just quit loving people when it gets hard and when it gets messy. People aren't projects. People are created in the image of God. They deserve to be loved well. Whether or not they choose to believe in Jesus or change the way we want them to change. So what we want to do is we want to love well. That means we speak the truth, but we speak the truth in love. The truth must not be used as a club to bludgeon people into acceptance and obedience, but is always presented as an invitation, as an opportunity to change. That's the way Jesus treats me and you, isn't it? He communicates to us, this is an invitation, this is an opportunity. And I'm so glad He just doesn't carry a 2x4 around and deal with us out of frustration. Some of us, we have such, our love is kind of small. And I'm asking God to grow my love so that when people say things, and you know, the first thing that pops into your head is, are you crazy? Are you kidding me? I would like better things to pop into my head first. Here's the kingdom that we're working for. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness. That means goodness. God's setting things right. It's peace. It's about shalom, wholeness, well-being, flourishing for all people. It's about joy. It's about celebrating progress, celebrating what the Lord is doing in the Holy Spirit. And that kingdom is here now, and it is coming in its fullness one day. That kingdom is what you and I get to anticipate in the here and now by showing up with grace, compassion, and hope. And Calvary, I'm excited about this kingdom that is broken in that you and I are a part of, and we're going to see more and more and more and more of God at work in our lives, even in the midst of brokenness and difficulties. Let's stand. Lord, this has certainly been a challenging and trying time for many of us. Lord, again, I want to thank you that you're at work in ways that are staggering. Lord, how you are mitigating and working behind the scenes to mitigate evil. Lord, thank you that not every evil intent comes to pass in this world. Thank you that not every evil plan happens. Thank you that you thwart the plans of the enemy against us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that storms don't have the last word, that floods don't determine our future. Thank you, Lord, that you're at work through your people, that you're at work by your Spirit, that you're at work through your ministering angels, your ministering spirits. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives at Calvary. Thank you that we're having an opportunity to join with you and learn new capacities, develop new abilities and skills. Thank you for that. Lord, we're grateful. Lord, in this hour, we really want to be changed. We really want to learn to be intentional like you. Lord, help us, keep us out of the ditch of presumption and keep us out of the ditch of passivity. Lord, you know us. We'll sometimes just run ahead of you. We'll just do it on our own. And then other times we'll just say, well, we're waiting on God. Lord, help us to partner with you. God, we declare today that you're already at work. You're already at work in me and us and around us. And Lord, help us to see. Help us to pay attention. Help us, Lord, to be there with grace, compassion, and hope. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you. Thank you for being our hope and our future. Thank you. Thank you for being our deliverer. Lord, we pray today that you'll manifest your saving grace, your good help. Manifest your hope. Lord, I'm praying that in Jesus' name. We're going to come to ministry. We're going to need a bunch of teams this morning. If you feel depleted of strength or energy, we want to pray for you. I believe the Lord wants to touch you and meet you this morning. So as we're talking, ministry teams, just come on up. We're going to need a bunch of teams. If you're struggling emotionally or if you're hurting in your heart, we want to pray for you. If you're going, man, I don't know why I feel what I feel. I feel either depressed or discouraged, or sometimes I'm just fearful and anxious for no reason. Come up. Let's practice authenticity this morning and just say, this is what I'm feeling. Could you pray for me? If you need healing or if you need hope, I want to invite you to come to one of these teams and let us pray for you. The Lord wants to meet you. The Lord's here and wants to touch you. And then this one's a little bit harder. If the Lord is speaking to you and he's speaking to you about your anger and being short-tempered and frustrated, or if he's speaking to you about judging or being cynical, simply agree with the Lord. Like when the Lord comes and he puts his finger on something in our lives, it's not for condemnation, it's actually for change. And so when the Lord comes and says, hey, you've been really impatient lately. I mean, you can see the anxiety in our city, which is normally, this is a difficult place to drive in. But right now, haven't our roads become just amazingly angry places? But it's not out there. It's also in here. So when God puts his finger on something, let's just be a people who are quick to say, wow, Lord, thanks for showing me that. Or, Lord, I didn't want you to show me that, but thanks anyway. And would you help me? I apologize. The Bible calls that repentance. Let's just agree with him. Say, Lord, help me to change. I want to change, and I want the opposite. I want what you want for me. Apologize and simply ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to let go of that other thing and to let God help you with the new thing. especially this judgment, especially this thing of, if you've been having this thought lately, if people would just do it this way, if they would just do it this way, I don't think that's the Lord right now. And we come across parenting, we come across controlling and fixing, and just let's repent of that stuff, because our culture needs people to show up with grace and with compassion, with hope right now. So whatever your need is, Lord, we ask you to touch us. We say thank you for these teams. Lord, would you release healing mercy? Would you release encouraging mercy? Would you release delivering mercy? Lord, would you meet with us in this time of prayer? Lord, I want to thank you that you're here right now. We sense your presence. We don't take you for granted. Oh, and then needing a Savior. Wow, if we've been talking about Jesus, you go, I don't have this personal relationship with Jesus. One of these teams would like to help you to know him, to follow him. He really is our Savior, our hope, our future, our deliverer. And so you can come and receive prayer. While we're doing that, as I dismiss the church in just a minute, we need the chairs stacked up six high. And guys, if you can help with that and then help move them off the floor, that would be great. A little bit later, I'm going to be over here by our memorial stones. And if you're a first-time guest, I'd love you to stop by and meet me. And then over at the Welcome Center, we have a gift for you. If you're a first-time guest, we'd like for you to stop by there. So, Lord, we believe you have a lot you want to do this morning. Thank you that the altar is open for those of us that just want a place to just repent or to talk to you or with one of these teams, whatever our need is. Thank you that you're here. And we ask you to use us this week and teach us this week. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.